Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Natalie Irvin, and today I'm joined by the first ladies of the church, Macy Thigpen, Susan Williams, and Raven Buchanan. So welcome, ladies. This is totally different for me. Normally, I'm doing kind of my own thing, but Jordan asked me if I would get y'all together, and this is a rare moment that we all get to actually be in the same room and without our kids and actually get to have a conversation. And so I think today is going to be really special just to kind of let people in to our lives a little bit, as I know that we say pastor's wives, but I mean, we are pastor's wives, but I think it's there's kind of a connotation that comes with that, and we're going to kind of get into that if y'all feel like that's the culture here at the church. I've never really felt like that's a label that has necessarily been put on me, but we do want to talk from that lens of what it's like to be alongside our husbands as they do ministry, be a part of ministry with them, and just life at Connection Church, which is great. It's a great place to be. So I guess we'll just start by, if you'll introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, how long you've been married, what you do.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm Raven Buchanan. I've been here for the last, we're at 12 years this week, actually. I am a elementary school teacher. I teach kindergarten, and we've been married. Chase and I have been married for 12 years, and we have a almost 8-year-old this week, and son Owen, and then a 3-year-old daughter, Josie.
I'm Susan Williams. Brandon and I have been married 26 years. We'll be 27 November. So I'm an occupational therapist, and I work in the Bullock County school system. So I work with my sweet babies. We have 3 children. Dake is 23, and he's newly married to Laura Ashley. Jackson is 19, and Reed is 15.
I'm Macy Thigpen. Jordan and I have been married for...
Think about it.
I just completely forgot. We've been married for 12 years. This year will be 12 years. We have 3 kids. They are... McClendon is 9. Charlotte is 6, almost 7. And Keller is 4. And I homeschool all... And so my days are spent with them.
Super mom. Mm-hmm.
Nah, for sure. I don't know about that.
I can't even imagine. But I, like I said, I'm Natalie, and I've been married to John for 13 years. I had to think about it while y'all were like coming up with yours. We have Harper, who is almost 10, and Adeline, who is 7, and I'm a special education teacher, and that's about all there is to know about me. So basically, when we get into this, I kind of want to know, like, when did, because Susan is...
I'm the old one, yes.
She's the matriarch of the family. And so, Susan, I know that a lot of people have heard kind of how Brandon started the church, his vision for that, but I know that you played a huge role in that, in starting the church. And so I want to kind of hear from you, like, what were your first thoughts when you found out that you could potentially be a pastor's wife?
Well, first of all, I have asked how honest that I can be. So I'm going to try to be honest. By that point that we were talking about and praying about and discussing and starting the church, I was not surprised that's, I kind of felt the calling as well to help Brandon start the church. Kind of how Brandon and I have worked together as a couple in our life is he is a visionary. He gets the ideas, mm-hmm. and God kind of gives me the timing. Mm-hmm. Several have heard before that it actually, we were in our bathroom that morning getting ready, and he said, I feel like it's time to start the church. He was brushing his teeth, and I think I was maybe brushing my teeth too. Maybe I was doing something else, but I was like, okay. And so it was just kind of... where I wasn't surprised. There's some times that I've had to either say, let me think about this for a minute, or let me pray about this for a minute, and maybe not put on the brake, so to speak, but maybe mm-hmm. just I need some time to process this, where he's already processed it and thought it, and he's ready to go. He said ready to hit the ground running. Yeah. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to to get moving. So so when we started the church, like I said, I was not surprised, but more probably he had to probably encourage me a little bit sometimes to say, hey, this is what we're doing, and just kind of make me feel, because I'm a big comfort person. I'm a big, I like my safety net. I like my bubble. And so sometimes to step out of that is, it just takes me a little bit longer. So,
did you ever feel initially like this pressure put on you as y'all started the church of that now I'm, I mean, obviously y'all, your family was a pillar in the community beforehand. So you were kind of already known because of Mr. Bruce and, you know, the restaurant and just all the different ways that your family played a part in the community. But did you ever feel any pressure from people to be a certain way because you were now the pastor's wife?
Not so much from outside the community. Really not. It was nobody putting pressure on me. I think as far as, there's probably two parts to that. So one part of when we started the church, I probably was a little bit nervous thinking, oh, people are going to think we're crazy. You know, here we are, and like we, like Brandon has said many times, we're in a community that has, you know, 100 churches in it. Why start another one? So it was probably more thinking, oh, gosh, what are they going to think? Or are they going to think we're crazy on one hand? And then the other hand, obviously feeling like God's calling us to do this, we're going to do it. Within the church, within the, you know, the, our church community, so to speak, it wasn't that anybody was putting the pressure on me. I almost put the pressure on myself. So, you know, I grew up, one of my best friends, she was a pastor's daughter. And so I grew up around a pastor's family. I, you know, I would go on vacations with them and all that. So I saw her mom and dad and how her mom was as a pastor's wife. So sweet, so precious, had so many great qualities that she had. And so I kind of, I've always looked up to her. And but in my mind, she was the perfect pastor's wife. And I kind of put that in my head, and my personality was so different than hers. She was so sweet and just had, I feel like she, you know, could just do all the things. She was a leader. And then there was another woman that I knew of who was a pastor's wife. We weren't great friends, but I kind of had her as my person that I would think of as a pastor's wife. And she, you know, she spoke, she led, she, you know, she taught from the stage. She did all those things. She could sing. She could do all those things. So those things were kind of in my mind. So it was more me putting pressure on myself.
To fulfill different roles. What about you, Macy? I know that y'all have had kind of a different experience because initially you were in D.C. when Jordan felt that calling to be part of ministry. So what was that experience like for you?
So it actually backs up even further. He felt the call to ministry basically like right after he got saved. So we were still in college, and he approached me and said, I like you. I want to go on a date with you, but I'm going to be a pastor. And if you don't want to be a pastor's wife, then we can't date. And so I had to, like, pray about, okay, God, you know, what does this look like in my life? And I have a degree in fashion merchandising, fully planned to move to New York. And the Lord completely changed my heart, and for the better. Like, I cannot imagine myself living in New York, and that's not, just another world to think about. But so it was just kind of always the plan for us. And then we got married young and moved away to seminary and just knew we wanted to help plant a church or be church planners. We didn't really know what that was going to look like. So we went through seminary and helped plant a church in D.C. in Georgetown. And so then not very long into the church plant, it was like a year that we were there, we felt the Lord was calling us to move back home to be with family because our parents' health wasn't great. And so we just wanted to be back with family. And it was all in the Lord's timing because we moved like 3 to 4 months before COVID hit. And so we came here like in the middle of kind of everything changing. And so that's kind of how we wound up back in Statesboro.
Yeah. How do you feel like your role, how do you feel like y'all have kind of decided your role in ministry? Is that something that y'all have talked about? Or, you know, how do you feel like you support him in his desires to serve in ministry? Or do you feel like that's two totally separate things for y'all?
So for us, I would say we have talked about it a lot, and it has always been, he has never wanted me to do anything that I felt like the Lord wasn't calling me to do. So if I don't feel like the Lord's calling me to serve in an area, I'm not going to serve in that area just because my husband's one of the pastors.
Right.
Because that's, no one else is doing that, so why do we have to do that? And so that's always been our approach to it. And then on the flip side of that, it's always been, what are ways that I can support him, whether that's in our Connect group or in ministries that he's involved in? How can I, like, come alongside of it with things that I've learned and I've experienced from the other churches we've been a part of, or the other church planting networks we've been a part of? And then also, our role, we have decided that my main role is to disciple our kids at home. And there were so many times that a person that used to go to our church would ask me who I'm discipling. And I would always say the three figs, like, that's who I'm discipling right now. And I'm okay with that. And I know that the Lord is pleased with what I'm doing, and I don't have to, like, spread myself too thin to be able to say I'm discipling all these people, or to put it down on a list, or to really make myself feel good because I'm doing more outside of my home than what right now I feel like the Lord is calling me to do. And I know that's going to change in seasons. It's already changing because they're getting older, and they don't need me as much as they used to. So that's always been, it's kind of just been, we say that we approach it open-handed, like, we just let the Lord guide us and change it when it's time for it to change. And so right now, that's where we feel the most at peace about what the Lord's calling me to do.
I love that. I love how you talked about being spread thin, because I think a lot of times that is the pressure that you put on yourself is, you know, I've got to do all of these different things. I've got to meet with this person and this person and this person and this person, and they're counting on me, and I've always done this, so I always have to do it. Rather than really stepping back and refocusing and saying, like, no, I've, my number one job for discipleship is my home, and then what overflows from that. But Raven, I know being a worship pastor's wife is a little bit different, and so I kind of want to hear about your experience. I know that Chase was doing music and things before y'all got married, but how has that transition been as a pastor's wife in that way?
Well, Chase had a call on his life before we started dating, so he kind of had the same conversation that Macy was talking about when she said that. I was like, yeah, I remember that. But I knew going into that relationship that that was his, you know, end goal and his calling, and it just looked different ways. I mean, you have dreams and you have aspirations, and I can just remember, like, being at the church that we were at before in Alabama. It was like his home church, and the people were amazing. We loved them. And basically, we had to find a new job because it was the church was kind of financially in a place where it was going to have to basically close. And we looked everywhere. Oh, my gosh, I can remember Chase having interviews in Miami and me being a little stressed about, like, am I going that far away from family?
Girl from Alabama going to Miami.
I was like, I don't know about this. But the Lord just, like, one day just showed Connection on some random website, and he literally got a phone call and a Zoom meeting, and or maybe it was Skype back then, I think. And we were in down here within, like, a week of all that, and he was trying out. And then I just remember, like, this place, you know, feeling different, and just seeing him and, like, all the stuff that he's been able to do here is just amazing. I don't think we would have gotten that in Alabama. So, yeah. Just the songwriting and all the people. I mean, oh, my gosh, there's so many talented musicians that have come mm-hmm. through this church, whether they were in college and they moved on or whatever, but there was just so many talented people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Chase's thing has always been to be humble about your calling. And so, yeah, I cannot sing. It is not my gifting.
So you decided that wasn't going to be your role to play.
Yeah. Ministry, right? For a while, he thought I could sing. And in the beginning of our relationship, and I can remember my best friend Madison being like, I don't think we have the same person here, mm-hmm. you know? And anyways, but yeah, that's not my gifting. I have other gifts and talents, and it's been kind of the same way. If I was not led to do it, then I shouldn't do it. And I can mm-hmm. literally remember coming here and talking with all of you guys when we first came, and that was one of the things that the elders kept saying was, you're not here for a two-for-one deal. You know, mm-hmm. like, we don't expect you to basically do your full-time job and then also be full-time for free at our church. You know, like, we want you to, you know, serve where you feel called to serve mm-hmm. and not force anything on you. Yeah. So that was nice to hear and know that it was okay to... You know, step back. I can remember stepping back when my children were young and taking some time away from different things and because my children needed me at that time, mm-hmm. you know, and overworking myself was not going to help, you mm-hmm. know, like trying to raise children, disciple them, be a teacher. I taught fourth grade forever and then just recently went back to kindergarten the last 2 years. And then also trying to serve at the church. So mm-hmm. You have to look at the bigger picture. And I loved what Macy said about discipling her children and mm-hmm. that being mm-hmm. the forefront of her mind. And I think that as a pastor's wife and, you know, as a mom, that should always be at the forefront of our mind. And we shouldn't let anyone make us feel guilty if that's not mm-hmm. what
we're called to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To do more.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. I know I kind of referenced the pastor's wives that I have experienced in the past and in the families. And I will say that me putting that pressure on myself, I feel like was something that I did. And, you know, in the beginning when we first started the church, obviously there were things that we had to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to clean. We had to do right. things mm-hmm. because – and we all joined in. It wasn't just like me and Brandon. It was everybody, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. doing that. So there was obviously things I had to do. But it was kind of cool. I actually remember this, and so I brought my Bible to share with you. I write down things when God – I feel like God gives me a word mm-hmm. or you know, speak something to my heart. I write down the date, and it was July the 10th of 2011, and it said, God revealed my purpose, and it said, I wrote, I am called to be a wife, support, love, care, and build Brandon up, and a mom, love, and, nourish my kids and disciple them, and I put, no matter what other pastors' wives do, this is who God has called me to be. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I've kind of been able to stand on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we start feeling bad or whatever, I've just been like, you know, I don't need to do that because God's called me to be a mom and a wife. And that's who he's called me to be. And mm-hmm. I think, like Macy said, the different seasons, I mean, obviously my kids are growing and grown and older now, so I'm able to do more things to some aspect, and mm-hmm. so I still think it's, and they'll really pray in again, because I don't just want to jump into something. I want it to be what God's right. called me to do, mm-hmm. and so that's kind of the season I am, where you guys have young babies still, mm-hmm. and I love seeing them around and, you know, running around. That's another thing, too. I feel like, you know, when Brandon and I first got into ministry, we were doing it together. It wasn't going to be mm-hmm. his job and then something that he was going to put us on the, you know, the back burner. He was right. like, and I remember the first full-time ministry position he applied for, and he was like, you know, I went to the interview because he was like, we're going to do this together. It's mm-hmm. not going to be just me. And right. And so the fact that all of y'all's kids and the other staff's kids are running around, and you know, that makes my heart happy because that's what mine were doing. And and you may occasionally see them running around and wrestling and something.
They still do a little bit.
Just don't go to the office after on Sundays after the sermon. They may be wrestling. But no, just the fact of that makes my heart happy because I feel like, you know, I hope everybody in the church understands that our kids, this is a home for them. Yeah. And I want their kids to feel a home too, but this is, you know, especially a home for our kids when we're up here a lot. Yeah. So just seeing them feel comfortable do that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So
and wanting them to love it.
Yes.
You know, and they do right now at their age. You know, I feel like they love being up here. It's something that, you know, do we get to go to the church today? Do we get to go playing kids? You know, of course, Harper with the baby room situation. But I think it's like, you know, the culture that Brandon set from the very beginning, I feel like, was our kids are not going to be tied to a certain, you know, image just because they're the pastor's kids. Mm-hmm. They're going to be who they are. Mm-hmm. And we're going to raise them to love the Lord and hopefully, you know, put them on the right path. But our kids are our kids, and they're allowed to be kids, and they're just like everybody else's. And so, you know, like you said, just having the village of people come around them and love them. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes pastor's kids, people are like, oh, no, you know, we don't – pastor's kids, you don't want pastor's kids, whatever. Yeah. But I feel like it's a blessing. I feel like our community and our church culture embraces that and loves our children more than anything else. And I feel like we couldn't do what we do, or I know I wouldn't have, we wouldn't have gotten through a lot of things as a family if we didn't have the pastor's wives and the staff and the people that serve here. I mean, we just have a really great culture. And so I do think it matters what kind of culture that you build and what your expectations are of your people. Yeah. And so I guess going back to how we met, me and John was already in ministry. He was already the youth pastor or the student pastor. He's had a lot of roles at the church, but I just kind of came in with this idea. I was already going to the church by accident, actually, because my roommate had broken her leg and she was serving in the nursery. And back in the day, there was only like two people in the nursery. So she was like, you have to go serve for me. And I'm like, I don't go to that church. But turns out back then, I didn't need a background check. Susan, you just let me in.
I would have let anybody in, but I'm very thankful for you.
I just held babies with Miss Bobby and the rest is kind of history because after that, I just stayed. I mean, how can you not? And so then after that, I mean, I knew John, and that's a whole thing of kind of knowing him but not really knowing him. And I just thought he was weird. And but then ended up, as a teacher, going through the program, the education program, ended up having this great relationship with some fifth graders who are now married and have kids, and it's super weird. But had a great relationship with these fifth graders who were transitioning into youth and really wanted them to have a smooth transition. And so I met with John at a coffee shop to talk through how can we make this, you know, a good transition. Can I be a part of youth? I've never done students before, but this is something I feel like I'm called to do. And from there, we started dating. And so whenever I told my mom that I was dating a youth pastor, she's like, oh, okay. Because I hadn't really, you know, I'd just been having fun in college. It wasn't really that I was not living this, you know, a good life. I was. But, like, I just wasn't, like, in committed relationships very long. And so she's like, I hope you know what you're doing, you know, because he's older and he's established. And not that he's like that much older. I feel like I'm being weird, but he was only 4 years older than me, but he was much more established and mature than I was. And so I think like we kind of matured together. He really helped me to mellow out, to really, dig in more into my relationship with the Lord, but also to find my purpose within the church. And so it really became like a team effort. And so then we moved to the high school and it was just, we did everything together as a team. And I still remember one of my favorite memories was going and getting Brandon's dad's really, really old diesel truck at like 11 p.m. because we had no kids. And so we're just like, 11 sounds great. You know, let's go pick up the truck and take it to the high school with the trailer so that we can load in at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And it was such a long trip, but like we did it together and it was fun. And it's like, how did we do that? And now we're like in bed at 8:30, you know, just ready to crash. But yeah, I think we, John's been the same way, just kind of as y'all have mentioned, just, you know, do what you feel called to do and don't put pressure on yourself to be anybody that you're not. You know, mm-hmm. you're Natalie, and that's what makes you purposeful in the kingdom, is that you're, you know, God created you to just be you. And sometimes, you know, he's like, all right, tone it down. But also, you know,
no,
God
don't
created
tone it down.
Me
we
to
love
be
you.
Me.
So. That's right. We love you.
Sorry, John. Okay, so I know that we've talked about discipling. We've talked about discipling our own kids, but I know that we've probably been discipled in our lives at some point, but then also discipled others. So what role do you feel like you've played in that process, either as, you know, someone being discipled and that's impacted you, or vice versa, stepped into that role to disciple?
I feel like I was discipled a lot when I was in youth ministry and college ministry at my church back in Alabama. And I love those people, and I still can call them at any time, especially one in particular. And she was pastor's wife, and she was the youth pastor's wife, and she just poured everything that she could into us, spent as much time as she could. She allowed us in her home. She allowed us to spend the night and have, like, great, huge, you know, girl slumber parties. And her daughter was 4 when I first met them, and so she basically grew up with us. Mm-hmm. And then now she's married, which is weird. But it, I don't know. I feel like she in particular had a huge impact on my on my life, and I could just see through things that she had personally, you know, gone through and loss that she had had. She was able to just love us and disciple us and talk to us and just be available. I think mm-hmm. that was one of the coolest things, was just being available. Yeah. To talk things through, and yes, she was leading, you know, Bible studies and things like that, but she was also always available.
More of the presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. She, you knew she cared and mm-hmm. loved you. So.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, I can't remember a specific person, so to speak, but I just remember probably from youth group on, probably the people I was babysitting for, mm-hmm. or even like our youth pastors and their family, just hanging out, and even coaches. Brandon and I did start dating, whatever you want to call it now these days, liking each other at an early age. And so he played sports. I was always at the ball field. So we would get closest to the coaches and their wives, and, you know, and so we would hang out with their families, and then also hanging out with the youth pastors' families, mm-hmm. and just, you know, so I think those, just doing life with those, mm-hmm. and seeing how they did life. And like I said, babysitting, I would go on a specific family. I would go on vacations with them and just seeing them. So those were kind of the people who I felt like were my mentors or discipleship. And it was really through them just being available. Life. I like that word. They were available and just being just part of their mm-hmm. daily lives. To mm-hmm. me, that was a huge, and I was very blessed to have my parents as great examples, and grandparents as great examples. And so I think through all of that, I would say those were the people who discipled me. I can't say one person mm-hmm. that I've, you know, that actually did that.
It's more of a community.
It's more of a community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I would say a little bit of the same. Definitely growing up, I had people that discipled me just by their lives. But when we first got married and moved to seminary, they called them growth groups at our church there. Our growth group leader was Jordan's theology professor. And so he would like travel a lot, and his wife had a 2-year-old, and she would just call me and be like, hey, like, he's gone for the weekend. Do you want to just come hang out while I put, her daughter's name was Kaya, well, I put her to bed. And I was like, sure. So like 10 o'clock at night, I'm still at her house, and we would just sit down and Or I would just come show up at her house, and because Jordan and I had gotten into one of those newlywed fights, you know, and she'd be like, "But do you see how you acted sinful in that?" And I'm like, "But that's not why I'm here. Like, I want you to tell me what this he did wrong so I can go home and talk about it." But she like just helped me see how to love my spouse, and also just the way that she parented. I got to like watch her put her kid to bed every night, or not every night, but when I was over there and just ate dinner with them, like we were just a part of their lives in all areas. And her husband's one of Jordan's mentors, but we even named our oldest, her middle name is after their daughter. But so it's just like really cool that the way that the Lord, I could sit here and talk about us going to seminary for forever, because so I would not say that everyone that goes into ministry needs to go to seminary, but for us, it was so beneficial because we both grew in ways outside of being at seminary, just the people that the Lord put in our lives at that season of our life that we needed it. And so it has helped her. So my relationship with her has helped me learn how to love my family well, but also how to disciple people well, like to ask the hard questions, to be willing to call people out on things that they needed to be called out on, and not just be like, yeah, you're doing great, when they're not.
Yeah. I think that's so important, of just being able to have your home open and ready to allow people in. I think that's something that's been really humbling for me recently, because over the past year, I've been discipling some college students, and I never really even saw myself doing that. I was really intimidated by it for some reason. Like, I thought they wouldn't think I was cool, and they would think I was just, like, old and out of touch. And so I really shied away from it. But once I started doing that, they would text me and be like, "Can I come over?" And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, my house is messy. Like, they're going to expect me, like, I'm going to have to entertain them. You know, I'm going to have to, like, let me clean up, let me do all this." And what the Lord has really, like, shown me is that they don't care. Like, they just want to be a part of your life. They just want to sit on the couch and, like, sit there. Like, it's not that big of a deal, you know? They just want to. And so I guess it's just been really humbling to be in that position, whereas I've always seen other people in that position. I've always seen myself looking to them, like me looking to Susan for something. And now I'm in that role, you know, we're in that role of students looking to us to watch how we parent, or watch, you know, just how we interact with our families, or they want our advice, or they just want to feel our presence, and that's comforting to them, you know? And so, like, to me, that's just been so incredibly special and life-giving that, like, I don't have to worry about all that little stuff. I don't have to worry about constantly, like, entertaining, you know? Just being present and being myself and being there for people is enough, and is what they're looking for, and just... And the joy that they bring to my life, like, it's just so, so special. But yeah, I think that's a huge, huge thing in our church is discipling and discipleship, and that a lot of that changed, even when you're not sitting down and just opening the Bible and reading from, you know, the start of your time to the finish of your time, like, it's more about being present, being willing to have hard conversations, being willing to just sit down and actually talk about deep stuff, not just that surface level.
And I think that's something, because my generation, I feel like discipleship was not a huge part. I mean, it was more Bible studies and more, and not even, I wouldn't even say like our connect groups. I wouldn't even say it was like that. It was more just you went in, you listened to somebody teach the Bible study, and then you went, you did prayer requests, and then you went away. You know, so it wasn't even the doing life together through the connect group. So with discipleship, I will say that's something that has really intimidated me, because I'm not one that can just, you know, quote out scriptures like that. You know, but I can do life with you, and I can care for you, and I can love on you. And so I feel like that's probably been something that just within the last probably 5 to 10 years, something that I've really had to step back and look at and realize that, you know, I may not know the Bible back and forth, you know, every scripture in it, but I can still be positive influence and still be, mm-hmm. you know, there to disciple someone.
And you do have so much wisdom. So. I mean, because you've gone, because I think that there's so much value in wisdom and in experience. You know, yeah. when you go through things
some,
like...
Some bad experience, some good experience.
But I think, yeah,
some
but
things
the bad
don't
experience,
do like I did.
Right, but the bad experiences, I feel like, shape us into knowing the things that we wish we would have done. Right, that yeah, now right. we can say...
Yeah.
I've been there, and let me tell you something. This is what I wish I would have done in that situation. Correct. Or, you know, I mean, there's so much wisdom that comes with just experience. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so much of what, you know, I love. When I have a situation and I'm talking to you about it, I feel like that's what I gain is just so much wisdom of, you know, here's what I'm thinking about this. And, yep, I've been through a similar situation. And there's nothing like that when you can have somebody that really understands. You know, that's a lot to offer.
Yeah, but I look at you guys and see, you know, you guys have young children. I'm like, gosh, I should have done that with my kids. you know what I mean?
So always
I mean,
evolving.
It is.
So. yeah. But I was going to say, there's one thing none of us mentioned is like a Bible verse that somebody shared with us or
You're
the
right.
the Bible verses that we or the Bible studies that we went through. It was that people did life with us and that's who really like stuck out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And to what you're saying, like, it feels intimidating to disciple somebody because you don't know, you know, you don't have the whole book of Romans memorized.
Right.
But you can just sit down and love people and care about them. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you feel like is one of your favorite memories here at Connection Church? Any favorite memories that you've had?
Don't start with me. I'm going to think about that.
Okay, I'll go because I really
the most
do have
years
a recent
to think about
one.
That.
You have a lot of years. To
I have
think
a lot
about.
Of years. Yeah,
I will. I have one like right off the top of my head that was one of the best memories, and that's when we baptized people at the baseball field.
Yeah.
Man, that was just so cool. That was so fun, like from start to finish. I think from everybody's perspective, like I was. You know, next to people who were being baptized. So I'm watching all of these people just come out of the water, and it's just the most beautiful thing. But then I'm also looking over, and Raven has my children in the dugout, and they're dancing, and they're praising, and they're singing the songs. And it's like from every angle is a different part of my life that I'm watching experience this beautiful thing. And, like, how amazing is that, right, that we, like, get to be witnesses of – life changed every single Sunday, but then moments like that where our kids are part of it, our friends, our family, you know, we're just in this huge crowd of people who are just all celebrating. And like anytime we're in those situations, the spontaneous baptisms, I mean, it's just amazing to watch. Like we know God's going to move, but when we actually see it come to fruition, it's just, I don't know, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
That was a cool, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about times like that, and I can look back and think about the. I mean, there's probably a million times through the years of the church that I'm like, "How do I doubt God? Because I've seen what He's done.
Yeah.
Why do I doubt Him sometimes? Yeah. Why do I question if He's going to be there? If He's you know certain things because He's been there. So, so yeah, I definitely those were some great times for sure. So.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that come to mind, but this year. The One More Time Sunday, it just still really stands out. Like, I just think about it all the time.
Yeah.
It was so incredible. Good. After the prayer and fasting. So if anybody doesn't know who's listening, like, we had the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and then we had this service, and the amount of people that came forward who had been praying for people who didn't know the Lord to come to know the Lord, just really incredible things happening and lots of life change.
Yeah. Like, I was standing... I think I was on the second row. We were standing together, and people are just flooding. And I looked at Jordan, and I was like, do they need help? And he was like, I think so.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I'm not on the prayer team.
All hands on deck. Let's go. Somebody. Yeah, I know. It's really special. And I think people don't understand how rare that is. I don't think, like, churches everywhere are not seeing that kind of response. That's not an everyday Sunday or every Sunday type of response. And I think we sometimes can take that for granted and to see that God move in that incredible way. It's just really special. I just hope it's not ever something that...
We take for granted. Mm-hmm,
yeah. That I get tired of seeing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really amazing.
I feel like y'all have said so many good ones. So, I can just remember even like a few years ago, I was pregnant with Josie, and that's when Chase had the big recording in the auditorium and so kind of did it
that was fun.
A different way instead of just on the stage. And I don't know, it was just cool to like go really to intimate. And experience. Mm-hmm. And everybody was worshiping, everybody knew the songs. And those songs have helped a lot of people, mm-hmm. and they have really good stories that go with the songs, and mm-hmm. Just things that are impactful for people. And I know it's been a little hot minute since, you know, mm-hmm. that's gone down, but so much has happened since that too.
Yeah.
But I can still go back to those songs and just be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's cool to listen back to all the songs that Chase and the team have written, too, mm-hmm. because you can kind of see the church in the seasons that they were in during each of those times. And so that's really special, too. Like, mm-hmm. hearing Lydia sing at Vidalia, mm-hmm. I think I heard a recording a few weeks ago of her singing. What's the song that she sings and it's so amazing? Oh, my gosh. Of course, I'm going to, like, forget it on this. But anyway, she sings this amazing song, and I always used to love listening to her sing it. And it just, like, brought tears to my eyes listening to her. And it was just a recording from Vidalia's worship service, and it just reminded me of those times. And so it, like, brings you back to, man, that was such a crazy season, or, like, that was such a beautiful season, and just what God was doing in that. Because, I mean, we've had kids, and we've moved, and we've had tragedies, and we've had, you know, victories, and it's just a lot of things, a lot of emotions go into what we, you know, what our husbands do and what we do here is just, you know, it's really, it's great.
It's good. It's good stuff.
I'll go back to the Blue Building, because I think that's when I do, there's two things, that stand out. The first Vacation Bible School that we did. I don't remember the name of the actual the week, but it was the Fruits of the Spirit is what we did. And
with the farmers? Was it like the
I can't remember, but I just remember we decorated cardboard boxes and we had all the Fruits of the Spirit everywhere. And just seeing the kids come to that was, you know, was just lots and lots of fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, remember the kids section was in the office building next door, I guess is what it was called. But being over there, and obviously a lot of my memories are when my kids got baptized and when Brandon was able to baptize him. The baptism's in the river. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I found out, I was going through pictures last night, and I found a picture of Brandon baptizing my mom, which was incredibly special. And, you know, the same day he actually baptized me. So that was really neat. But I remember I was in Brandon Jackson, our middle one, was probably 3, 4. He had told Brandon that he wanted to preach. And Brandon's like, okay, that's fine. You know, not, you know, you just say yes and just go on with your day. Well, the whole time. I know. The whole time during the kids' service, I mean, during the sermon, I'm over there with the kids, and Jackson's like, Mama, am I going to go preach? And I'm like, I don't you know, I don't know what to say. So I said, we'll go over there at the end. So at the end of the service, I walked over with him. And I can't remember if we had talked about it before that morning or whatever. So I walked him over at the end of the service. And he went, those little, you know, all the little burgundy purple chairs were set up. And he went down the aisle. And Brandon, of course, saw him. And Brandon called him down there. And he got on there. And Brandon knelt down beside him and had the microphone. And I think this is what Jackson said. He's like, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you. And that mic drop, that was it.
Period.
He walked off the stage. So that was a special time for, you know, that. And then, I said, the Jake and Reed getting baptized was all, you know, special. And then just, you know, the Wednesday afternoons that they would, we used to do the Wednesday afternoon programs. Mm-hmm. I could list a million. So there was lots of memories. So
There's been so many good things. So along with the good things are the hard things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's hard things in ministry, and I would say that a lot of people maybe Maybe not, but I think that the assumption is from the outside that when you work at a church or when you are a part of a church that things are really great and it's, you know, you read your Bible all day and you talk about Jesus all day and you pray all day and it's just like really great and like everyone acts like they're supposed to and all the good things. But there are hard things about being in ministry because we're all people and we're broken. And so what do you feel like is maybe the hardest thing that might surprise people about being a pastor's wife or just being in ministry?
Who wants to dive in first?
Me?
Okay. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to.
Well, I think one of the hardest things is seeing how ministry affects your spouse. Mm-hmm. And I know for us, Jordan has always been very cautious of things that he shares with me because I can like, oh, they said that about you. They don't need to go to our church anymore. Or like, you know, make a stank face when I pass them in the atrium on Sunday mornings. And so just not be Christ-like at all. So he's like tried to keep things from me. And so for a season, he would come home and I could tell that something had happened. And mm-hmm. He didn't want to share it with me, and so he would say, today was an orange light day, and I need to go to the bedroom for a minute before I can, like, be a dad. And so just things like that, like, we had to come up with ways that it would work for our family because we know each other well enough to know, like, what's going to be best for us when this situation is resolved and you move out of it. Mm-hmm. What's best for our family moving forward. And so for us, we had to come up with things like that. But just to see, like, how – I'm sure everybody's job has hard days and you come home with a hard day. But ministry just weighs so heavy because you want the best for people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't see that. Mm-hmm. They think that you're just coming at them from a holier place or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the case may be. And it can just weigh heavy on – our spouse, and then mm-hmm. we have to, like, either we need to know all of the information to be able to love them and help them through it, or we don't need to know all of the information, mm-hmm. and you just kind of blindly, like,
it's a very fine line.
Yeah, yeah. Is today better than yesterday? And you just, mm-hmm. you just don't really
light?
Know. Yeah. No, you just never really know what's going to happen when yeah. they walk in the door or when they get a phone call and walk outside. Yes. And are they going to come back inside?
Yeah. And I'm like so nosy. I'm like, tell me now. Yeah. Whoa, yeah. What was it? But then I'm the same way. Get very, you know, protective
yeah.
because you love your husband and want the best for them too. And I would say along the same lines, one of the hardest things is when something is misconstrued or there's a perception, maybe something is not perceived in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're misunderstood in some way and you know their heart. And so that hurts to know that you can't correct it or fix it or mm-hmm. make it better, or go and clarify things that maybe... Mm-hmm. were yeah. Misrepresented and also friendships. You know, it's very personal. There's people that have been in and out of our lives throughout the years that we loved so dearly mm-hmm. that maybe left the church for one reason or another. Sometimes it's for fine reasons and sometimes it's not. And that's really difficult because, you know, it's their job here vocationally, but it's also extremely personal. And so you have that relational aspect to it. And when they leave, it's like you're losing part of that friendship. And so that's something that you kind of have to reconcile with. Mm-hmm. And that's that can be really difficult.
It's difficult for our families, too. Like, our mm-hmm. kids get involved with people and attached to
yeah.
people.
Absolutely.
And, like, yeah. if someone left our church at one point and the kids were like, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that they went to another church. No big deal.
Right.
It wasn't. There were no issues. They just wanted to go yeah. to a different mm-hmm. church, and the kids were like, "But why? Connection's the best church in the world.
Right.
Why would you leave?"
Just don't understand. Yeah,
I know, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah.
I feel like the enemy can use situations and moments, and mm-hmm. I think he knows exactly where to get us, and yeah. attacking our husband's like character definitely can get you riled up a little bit. I think you just sometimes have to step away and say, you know, he is here to kill, steal, and destroy, you know, mm-hmm. and it can just be used, and you have to, you know, move on and get over it. And then there's some Sundays where, you know, somebody will complain about something, and then I have to mm-hmm. be like, well, you don't know what it took for him to get him on the stage.
That's right. That's right.
You know, like, you don't know what he's been through to get mm-hmm. through this stage mm-hmm. and, like, what attacks from the enemy, you know? Mm-hmm. I think Chase even shared it on Friday. A new song came out, and, mm-hmm. Like, so many attacks from the enemy all that week. And so mm-hmm. just to get that song released. And mm-hmm. so I think it's just hard to see how, I guess, Satan can use certain situations to make them seem misconstrued or, mm-hmm. you know, different than they actually are. So sometimes it takes a lot for them to get on stage every Sunday.
Yes,
you don't. There's probably something that mm-hmm. happened that week. It probably was not all sunshine and butterflies.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the coolest things about our church is a lot of times the honesty. Brandon has always been honest about mm-hmm. how he feels. No, I mean, like, how he feels and, like, even, like, mentally. Like, I think that's he's honest about it. And I feel like that's why so many people relate to him and can, you know, understand him or even, I don't know, feel comfortable here mm-hmm. because it's not a stigma. It's not a let's sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, let's cover up all the hard stuff and put on a smile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I may need you to ask the question again to make sure I stay in line with this, stay in the right lane.
You know, what is the hardest thing for you that might surprise people or maybe wouldn't surprise people?
I was about to say, it may not surprise people. I mean, I agree 100% with everything you guys said. And I probably could have added, you know, a little bits and pieces to mm-hmm. all of the things you guys said. Definitely, you know, people leaving the church and for one reason or another, that's hard. Brandon and I have never wanted people to feel like they had to come to Connection because, especially in the beginning, even our family, we didn't even, you know, we're like, you guys don't have to come because we want it to be a place where God's leading you and God's calling you to come. Yeah. So that definitely, you know, resonated with me. Definitely losing the friendships. And, you know, it's funny, I started thinking, I think, Natalie, you were saying this about the, you know, if they started going to another church or whatever and you feel like you lose the friendships, and 100% agree. And, you know, I think about, like, I was trying to think of if in a world, not, I hate to say worldly job, but, you know, mm-hmm. for instance, if you stopped shopping at one spot and went to another mm-hmm. or, you know, chose to eat a restaurant one night and went to a different restaurant, you wouldn't
really.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the church is so, and I know why. I mean, it's a spiritual battle and it's a spiritual thing. And, you know, you're dealing with people's eternities and not just their mm-hmm. surface level lives, and they're bringing so many more emotions into the church versus into a store or restaurant. Yeah. You know, so I do understand why. And then, you know, Raven, what you said, there's some days, they don't want to get on stage. I mean, I can probably tell you, and Brandon, I feel like I can share this because I feel like Brandon has been very honest with his mm-hmm. struggles with mental health and with depression and things like that, but I mean, there's been lots of mornings before he, you know, gets up to preach, and he'll text me or call me, I don't think I can do this today. You know, and I'm like, okay, how do I handle this? Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning, my reaction was probably, you know, I was freaking out inside and freaking like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, what? Mm-hmm. And then it got to be where I knew that it was going to be okay and that God was going to mm-hmm. get him up there. And so it got to be where I was more calm about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see ministry's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I can say. I mean, it's just, it's hard. there's definitely the things we shared before. Mm-hmm. So many great memories and so many great things happen. So that definitely outweighs the hard days.
For
but
sure.
Probably for me personally, the things that's the hardest is how it does affect him personally, mm-hmm. because of his passion and love for Jesus and mm-hmm. for others to be saved and to live a life that's fulfilled by Christ, and that they are living a life up, you know, loving God and following God and mm-hmm. his desire for that. It's when those things don't happen, or when people go astray, or people do things not to him, but mm-hmm. because he cares for them so much, it hurts him, mm-hmm. And how that affects him. And he tries his best not to bring it home, and he does a great job of that, but I know him well enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been together, mm-hmm. married 26, 10 before that, so 36 years we've been together, mm-hmm. and I know his thoughts. I know mm-hmm. his feelings, most of them. I know his feelings, and to see how that hurts him, I can become, like, if I know the person that happened to, I can become real quick mama bear or mm-hmm. wife bear, I don't know what you would call it, where mm-hmm. I'm like, you know,
let me take care of it.
So it actually, this is probably the first time I've been behind a microphone that I can share.
Yeah.
I think they've all been scared to give me one over the past. No. But, you know, and so, and having to love people through that,
yeah.
and when they've hurt him or mm-hmm. that kind of thing is hard. Mm-hmm. And in that, or the expectations they've put on my kids.
Yeah.
You know, you mm-hmm. said the kids, pastor kids are held, you know, they're labeled or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just recently, my youngest, you know, had the experience at, not here at church, but at a different environment where someone did say, you should know that you're a pastor's kid, mm-hmm. or you should do that because you're a pastor's kid. And, mm-hmm. and you know, where I wanted to come out swinging or fighting, because mm-hmm. I was like, don't mess with my babies. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a pretty calm person, gentle person, but when it comes to my kids and my babies, yeah. that's another level. So,
yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
And just, but then having to sit back and say, hey, that's not what they meant. That's mm-hmm. not how they meant it. You know, just that kind of thing is so, yeah. but.
So I kind of feel like what everyone should take from this, if you're listening, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening, but that we should all just have grace for each other.
Absolutely.
And,
well, and I was thinking that too, and not meaning to interrupt
you.
No,
you're good.
But I think about, my dad owned a restaurant, so I'll think about, like, waitresses. When I go to a mm-hmm. restaurant and they may get an order wrong or be in a bad mood, but you never know what's going on behind, mm-hmm. you know,
what happened before.
Yeah. And so just showing them grace and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not, it's okay, you know,
right.
so, and just trying to have grace. And I think about that a lot with, mm-hmm. with us and our husbands and, you know, even this other staff members who are not married, and, you know,
right.
just you have to have grace. So.
And giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
That, like, a lot of times it is out of love, the reasons
yes.
that they're hurt or they're
yes.
coming to you in
yes.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the accountability, that's a whole nother.
Yes.
Yeah. Jordan can handle that. That's a whole nother
podcast. Yes.
But I guess just to wrap things up, what are y'all looking the most forward to? What are you most excited about? Because I feel like, you know, we're doing this together. No one's leaving. I've already warned. I'm like, listen, I need like extensive notice if anyone does leave me, because I have to have to grieve.
Yeah.
And it's all about me, really, at the end of the day. So, but what are we looking forward to as we move forward as a church? God's doing huge things. I really feel like he's moving in an amazing way. So what is the next 5 years old? What's
wow.
exciting? No one's leaving.
I have a 15-year-old. I don't want to talk about it.
Gosh. We don't even talk about our kids' ages.
I will be empty nesters.
Oh,
we'll be
yeah,
empty
you'll
nesters.
Be empty nesters.
Totally.
Is that what you're looking forward to?
No. I can say this past Friday night, Reed was gone. The other two don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon and I kind of looked at each other and like, what do we do? We were watching the television show and neither one of us really
was
cared
it quiet?
For it. Yes.
You can invite us over.
Okay.
I like
yes.
the quiet.
Yes. There will, no, definitely be some good times, but definitely, yeah. So somebody else answer that question first.
What I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I feel like God has moved so much in our mm-hmm. church. Just, I could even say, like, in the last 5 years, mm-hmm. you know, even through a lot of, like, heartbreak, loss, tragedy, has come a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, the church right now is in a very good direction on, like, mm-hmm. how to love others, how to equip others, yes. and help, you know, build each other up. I can just think of all the salvations that have happened. Mm-hmm. So just, like, continuing to see that, like, mm-hmm. and you were talking about, like, mm-hmm. never losing that, like, that awe and that wonder of God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just look forward to, like, what is God going to do next?
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Chase was making a joke this morning, and or maybe it was last night, put on a shirt that said, like, what is it, the 50 by
churches in 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked about how old he was going to be at that point. 60-something, I think is what he said. And I was
and he'll still be here, by the way.
They say Statesboro is a place leaving. You can't leave. I mean, you tried to leave.
We'll never try to leave here. Again. She's never tried. That's fine. I feel like I'm just excited about, like, our students and our college students. Like, what I've seen, the change in the students that are in student ministry, mm-hmm. being leaders, is, like, the most incredible thing that I've watched so far. Like, watching them grow into the people they are right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking about the kids that are on the leadership team for mm-hmm. students. Sienna Fox.
Gosh.
Addie Grace Simonelli. Yeah. They were my flower girls, by the way. So let's just forget that.
I just remember
that.
Holding them when they were babies.
They're babies, you know, and Hartley and just Bruce and, like, all these people that are growing up into godly men and women and watching the experiences that they're getting to be equipped to then go into college and experience that, and the way Jordan and Seth and Russ and everybody are equipping the college students. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like a movement like I've never seen before. Like, I wish I would have had that in college. Yeah. And so to me, that's the most exciting thing, is to see what these college students mm-hmm. and what these students are going to do. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I feel like we're kind of growing into a different season of our lives, and they're coming up to mm-hmm. where we were, if that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And that scares me a little bit, because I'm like, I don't want to be the ones that are supposed to be wise, because I don't think I'm wise. But also, these students are coming in, and they're changing things, and they're mm-hmm. changing the culture of our church, and I just love it. I think it's incredible. So yeah.
I think they're just hungry for the word. And
yeah, it's like a totally mm-hmm. different vibe of yeah. just wanting more and more and more,
yeah.
Which is...
I think that they're very hungry for the word, and that's just, like, inspiring to, like, see, and, like,
yeah, it's challenging.
Yes, it's challenging for us, and but just to, like, also lean into that wisdom mm-hmm. of the people around you and that have mm-hmm. experienced it, and
yeah.
So. There's a lot of guys that are, like, feeling called into ministry, or feeling called to plant a church, mm-hmm. In our church, and so. Just, and Billy says a lot, one of the next planters in our network is sitting in your congregation on a Sunday lost.
Wow.
And so just to think about, like, what the Lord can do in 5 years, like, yeah. he could save somebody and then they could go plant a church within the next 5 years. So mm-hmm. just the way that, even the way that he's, like, the Lord has led Jordan to kind of set up equipping and
yeah.
to be able to find people mm-hmm. in our church that want to learn and want to grow and want to be leaders and are feeling more called to ministry. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really cool. There was a time where the 50 churches by 2050 felt like, okay, like, so where are we going to get these guys right. that are going to go plant a church?
Cool.
And
yeah.
now God's just like, well, here's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, now you have to grow them up and you have to equip them. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's done a fantastic job and his whole team. I mean, it's really amazing everything that the Lord's put on his heart to accomplish and his drive behind all of that. So mm-hmm. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are the best women I know.
You're awesome.
Y'all are awesome. I was sitting here thinking I've actually fought back tears a little bit through all this because I'm so thankful. And I know Brandon is too, for your husbands and the other ones here. So thankful for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all have been there, and I know this is not a podcast to thank everybody, but I'm going to take
everyone.
The time to thank all these pastors' wives. You know, I really appreciate you guys because y'all have been there and mm-hmm. beside me personally and stood beside me through good times and sad times and hard times and bad times. And so I love you guys and thankful that we can do life together as pastor's wives.
That's what we said in our vows. Good times and bad, right?
Good times and bad.
Yeah. I'll write vows to you.
Thanks. Please.
We'll write vows to each other.
Pastor's wives vows.
We need some vows.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So I hope that I've done Jordan justice today by bringing the most beautiful ladies to the table for the Equip podcast. But I want to kind of wrap it up and just say, what did you say? Like and subscribe for more content.
Please.
This is the Equipping Podcast.